Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and blessed to be a child of the Most High God and to know that He is in charge. You know, the title that God gave me this morning was that we must, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. And, you know, thinking about Instagram and Facebook and TikTok and Twitter and how many clicks and likes and, you know, who's an influencer and all of these things. And I thought, where is God getting the glory in these things? Is God getting the glory in what you post? Is God getting the glory in your latest dance? Is God getting the glory in anything that you're doing as a influencer? And then you hear about this person is, he's a GOAT. Michael Jordan is a GOAT. LeBron James, he's a GOAT. Steph Curry is a GOAT. You know, ooh, the White Sox, they're a GOAT because, you know, the Field of Dreams, the White Sox won the first game. Ooh, Chicago in the house. But the question is, did God get the glory? And do what I do, is God getting the glory? Whatever we do, God should always get the glory. We got to get out of the generation of self. Because God will make the strongest look weak. The most influential look foolish. We have to never forget who's in charge. And if you're going to talk goats, the greatest is God. God is the greatest. Nobody but God. Nobody can out-influence God. Nobody can move more than God. Nobody can do anything bigger, better, or anything else than God. You know, and I wrote it a note on my Twitter when I posted the show for this morning, and all it says is just a reminder today. God's in charge, and we need to recognize who is the true GOAT, greatest of all times. So I say, Lord God, today we give you honor. Today we give you glory. Today we give you dunamis power, because there's nothing greater than you. Lord God, I ask you to increase as I decrease this morning. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart, Lord God, be acceptable in your holy sight. But Lord, you are my strength and redeemer in the name of Christ Jesus. I could do nothing without you. Father God, thank you for this day that you have made. I rejoice in it. For you gave me breath in my body and a clear mind to preach, to teach, and to read your holy word. Lord God, may I do what I do for you and never think that anything is me, but all things are you. Father God, I lift up this morning all those that are suffering around the world, suffering in Haiti, suffering in Afghanistan, suffering in America, suffering in Israel, suffering all over this planet. For those that are suffering, Lord God, I ask you to give them peace, to give them an understanding that you are in charge and that we will glorify you in all things. Lord God, I thank you. I thank you, thank you, and thank you again. For all things good and perfect come from you. the good, the bad, and the ugly, Lord, you are in charge. Because everything is to make us better people, better men and women of God, better servants. Father God, I thank you. I praise you. I give you honor and I give you glory. In the name of Christ Jesus, I look up, lift up, and say thank you for this day that you have made. Again, Lord God, I rejoice in it. For you gave me another day to just breathe. In Jesus' name, amen. We got to just breathe. We got to just know that the air we breathe comes from God. The hope in our heart comes from God. The pep in our step comes from God. That TikTok image that you thought is the latest came from God. All the influencers don't understand that God is the author and the finisher of everything you do. Nobody is the goat but God. And if you want to say, well, he's the this, no. The only goat is God. The greatest of all time is God. And when we recognize that, everything else falls in place. Hallelujah. Giving honor to God this morning as we get in our word. But I just have to share. This morning I was, you know, I got a message popped up on my phone, on my iPad as I was working on today's message, and it just touched my heart, and I just want to share it with you today. And it says this: I never would have made it without God in my life. I'm like, wow, that's my testimony too. And then it says, so thankful for God's unconditional love. His grace and mercy continue to cover me. Thank you, Lord, for loving me, regardless of me. Have a blessed and thankful Thursday. And I thought, that sounds like a Sister Carolyn. But it was not. It came from Get Through the Week, the website. And it was forwarded to me by a friend of mine. And I am so grateful for this word this morning. I never would have made it without God in my life. And it just, you know, made me think of Anita Wilson sings a song, and she, you know, adds the word, if you never do anything else for me, you've done more than enough. You know, we got to give our glory in everything that we do. So, Father, we give you glory this morning. We glory in your name. We glory in your presence. We glory in your word. So all I can just do again is say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your mighty, mighty word this morning. We got to give God glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your life, for your sacrifice. Another greatest of all time is our Savior, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are blessed beyond measure to be children of the Most High God, who is the source of your strength. So as you go through this day, all you do, say, Lord, remove the flesh and put in your spirit. Hallelujah. So we're going back to the book of Job this morning. And we will be starting a new book today. We'll be in 1 Corinthians. And I'm excited because that's where our title comes from this morning. And some of the things that are in that message from Paul in 1 Corinthians, where you'll see it, is things that are happening today. If you really stop and think, it's today. It's a today word. It's, you know, everything that we think is old becomes new. All I can say is bell bottoms. You know, what do you call them, the Daisy Dukes and all the things that, you know, were my day, the mini skirt, all of these things have a new title, but they the same old stuff. Capris, we call them pedal pushers. Same thing, different time. We got to understand that everything that we think is new, it's old. It's old. It's been around for years, and all we doing is just recycling. All you have to do is even listen to the music. What they do, go back and recycle something from somebody else's generation and try to make it into something new. Ooh, that is my jam. That was made in 1959, or that was in 1968, or that's a Temptation song, or that's a Marvin Gaye song. And somebody has gone in and sampled the music and try to make it their own. But I'm sorry, you can never be like the original. So let's get started. And it's Job chapter 29. And Job is still pleading his case. You know, when I think of Job, I think we are in a courtroom. And the defendant is pleading his case. And the only judge is God. You know, but you have the witnesses. And the witnesses are not who you thought they were. You thought they were your character witnesses, but instead they're witnesses for the prosecution. But the word that my Know Your Bible says is God allows human suffering for his own purpose is Job in 10 words or less. And Job is going through. He is going through, and we go through as well. But again, we give God glory. And this is what Job says. Job further continued his discourse and said, oh, that I were as in months past, as in the days when God watched over me, when his lamp shone upon my head, and when by his light I walked through darkness. We all have that moment where we would pray that we would have what was taken, or what we let go, or what we messed up. You know, where we thought, where we felt, you know, God was watching over us. And then now you feel like, Lord, I'm going through. Where are you? And it goes on to say, just as I was in the days of my prime, when the friendly counsel of God was over my tent, when the Almighty was yet with me, when my children were around me, when my steps were bathed with cream and the rock poured out rivers of oil from me. For me, when I went out to the gate by the city, when I took my seat in the open square, the young men saw me and hid, and the aged arose and stood. The princes refrained from talking and put their hand on their mouth. The voice of nobles were hushed, and their tongues stuck to the roof of their mouth. When the ear heard, then it blessed me, and when the eye saw, then it approved me. Because I delivered the poor who cried out, the fatherless and the ones who had no helper. The blessing of a perishing man came upon me, and I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. I put on righteousness, and it clothed me. My justice was like a robe and a turban. I was eyes to the blind, and I was feet to the lame. I was a father to the poor. And I searched out the case that I did not know. I broke the fangs of the wicked and plucked the victim from his teeth. Then I said, I shall die in my nest and multiply my days as the sand. My root is spread out to the waters, and the dew lies all night on my branch. My glory is fresh within me, and my bow is renewed in my hand. Men listened to me and waited and kept silence for my counsel. After my words, they did not speak again, and my speech settled on them as dew. They waited for me as for the rain, and they opened their mouth wide as for the spring rain. If I mocked at them, they did not believe it, and the light of my countenance they did not cast down. I chose the way for them and sat as chief. So I dwelt as a king in the army, as one who comforts mourners. Okay. And this is a life lesson from Job. And again, for those just joining this Moving Forward experience, we are a Bible study. Our assignment is to read the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation in 1 year. And we are using this year the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. And it is a daily Bible with commentary. And the commentaries are life lessons, life questions, what the Bible says. And those are from Dr. Stanley. And I will say life lessons, which are Dr. Stanley's. And it says this, and before I go forward, a disclaimer. I am not being paid for by or given any kind of financial anything by Israel Houghton or by Charles Stanley to say, you know, you need to get the latest Israel Houghton album or you need to get this Bible. I do it because that's what God put in my heart. And I am grateful, thankful, and truly blessed that I'm allowed to use Israel's songs as well as to use Dr. Stanley's Bible. So I suggest and I encourage you to go out and buy Israel's new album, which is awesome, as well as to buy this Bible because they both are awesome. And as we go forth, it says this, Job 29:2, that I were in as in months past, as the days when God watched over me. Even when we're going through and we think that God is forsaken us, we think that we are out there by ourselves going through alone, God shows you, you have overflow. You have more than enough. You are blessed and highly favored. No, you may not have what you used to have, but you have more than enough to sustain you. You know, God wants us to look at what we do and what we have as so he can sustain us. And this is what it says. Job did not realize that even as he uttered this wish, God was still closely and lovingly watching over him. His hardship did not mean that God had abandoned him. The same is true for you. The same is true for me. We may be going through, but God has not abandoned us. God hears us, but God is helping us to grow in wisdom and understanding and in thankfulness, gratefulness, and to know that we are blessed because he has grafted us in as his children. We are children of God, and whether you think he loves you or not, because you're going through, he does. And you're going to get through your storm. I'm going to get through my storm. We're all going to get through our storm. The devil don't want to mess with people that are not doing what's that's doing wrong. He wants to mess with the ones that are doing right. And God allows it. But understand, he is always there watching to make sure that the enemy can't go too far. God's got your back, and he loves you more than anything. Keep trusting God today, and know that all things are going to work for your good. So let's get back into our word, Job chapter 30. It says, but now they mock at me, men younger than I, whose fathers I disdain to put with the dogs of my flock. Indeed, what profit is the stretch of their hands to me? Their vigor has perished. They are gaunt from want and famine, fleeing late to the wilderness desolate and waste. Who pluck mallow from the bushes and broom tree roots for their food. They were driven out from among men. They shouted at them as at a thief. They had to live in the cliffs of the valleys, in cliffs of the earth and the rocks. Among the bushes they brayed, under the nestles they nestled. They were sons of fools, yes, sons of vile men. They were scourges from their land. And now I am their taunting song. Yes, I am their byword. They abhor me. They keep far from me. They do not hesitate to spit in my face because he has loosened my bowstring and afflicted me. They have cast off restraints before me. At my right hand, the rabble arouses. They push away my feet, and they rise against me their ways of destruction. They break up my path. They promote my calamity. They have no helper. They come as brood breakers, broad breakers. Under the ruinous storm, they roll along. Terrors are turned upon me. They pursue my honor as the wind, and my prosperity has passed like a cloud. And now my soul is poured out because of my plight. The days of affliction take hold of me. My bones are pierced in me at night, and my gnawing pain take no rest. My great force, my garment is disfigured. It binds me about as the collar of my coat. He has cast me into the mire, and I have become like dust and ashes. I cry out to you, but you do not answer me. I stand up, and you regard me, but you have become cruel to me. With the strength of your hand, you oppose me. You lift me up to the wind and cause me to ride on it. You spoil my success, for I know that you will bring me to death and to the house appointed for all living. Surely he will not stretch out his hand against a heap of ruins if they cry out when he destroys it. Have I not wept for him who was in trouble? Has not my soul grieved for the poor? But when I looked for good, evil came to me. And when I waited for light, then came darkness. My heart is in turmoil and cannot rest. Days of affliction confront me. I go about mourning, but not in the sun. I stand up in the assembly and cry out for help. I am a brother of jackals and a companion of ostriches. As we know, ostriches put their head in the sand. Do I see nothing? My skin grows black and falls from me. My bones burn with fever. My harp is turned to mourning, and my flute to the voice of those who weep. Wow. And the light lesson from Job chapter 30 is this. From Job chapter 30, verse 20, I cry out to you, but you do not answer me. Just because God waits to answer our prayers does not mean that he has forgotten us or that he has failed to hear our requests. He works on our behalf even as we complain that he's ignoring us. We got to trust God and know that all things are working for our good when we put our trust in him. Psalms 97, 7 through 12, and it says this. Let all be put to shame who serve carved images, who boast of idols. Worship him, all you gods. Zion hears and is glad. And the daughters of Judah rejoice because your judgment, O Lord, for you, Lord, are most high above all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods, little g's. You who love the Lord, hate evil. Can we say that again? You who love the Lord hate evil. You who love the Lord hate evil. He preserves the souls of his saints. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. Light is shown for the righteous and gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. We got to remember who is in charge. We got to glorify God in everything we do. He who glorifies, let him glory in the Lord. Yes, we lose things. Yes, we go through storms. Yes, we go through some good days, bad days, and just downright ugly times in our life. But understand, God is in charge, and he will never allow the enemy to hurt and harm you to your detriment. Even when you're going through and you stop and think, you realize how blessed you are compared to someone else who may be worse off than you. We got to learn to thank God even in the midst of our going through. We got to learn to thank God in the midst of everything that we go through. God, thank you, because he woke you up this morning. He gave you breath in your body. He gave you a sound mind and a righteous spirit. Thank God. And never, ever give God's glory to man. There is no goat in mankind. The greatest of all times is God, and he is the one and only. Hallelujah. We got to stop giving men all the accolades and forget to thank God. Psalms 97:10, you who love the Lord hate evil. And as Dr. Stanley says, as our taste for the Lord and his loving, holy nature grows, our distaste for anything that dishonors and displeases him should also grow. Our love for God should prompt us to help others. Love him too. You are a walking testimony. From your test are your testimonies. From your mess is your message. We got to give God glory in everything we do. When we do that, watch God work. God is working. God is calling on us. God is wanting us to be better, to do better, to act better. And this is what the word of God says in Proverbs chapter 23, verses 15 through 16. My son, if your heart is wise, my heart will rejoice. Indeed, I myself, yes, my inmost being will rejoice when your lips speak right things. Hallelujah. We got to speak right things. For who do we belong to? We belong to the Most High God. And he is in charge of everything. And when I say it, I mean it. Everything. Even that ant that crawls on the ground. God created him. And that cicada that seems to be everywhere. God created them. God created the heavens and the earth. God created every star in the solar system. He created galaxies. He created it all. God did it. We are only but a teeny tiny bit of sand in the scheme of things. But we think we run the universe. But we are nothing but a leaf blowing in the wind to God. But I tell you this. He knows us. He knows our name. He knows every hair on your head. He knows everything about you. What's done in the dark, what's done in the light, what's done in secret, what's done for everybody to see. God knows it all. And the question becomes, with whatever you do, do you give God glory? Do you lift up the name of Jesus in your speech? Do you say, I'm grateful that things could be worse? I know that I'm blessed. I got a roof over my head. I have food in my stomach. And I got two legs to walk because somebody's not walking today. Somebody can't eat but through a tube today. Somebody can't speak because intubated. They got a tube going down their throat. We got to learn to thank God for everything. Because somebody is worse off than us. I thank God this morning for this word. And we glorify him today. We glorify the Most High God. For there is none like our God. Thank you, Lord, for this word. And we are going into a new chapter. Say, yay, new chapter, new chapter. Which means we are just moving right along through our word. As I look at my child's, my Bible, we are on page 1007. Which means we have read over 1,000 pages of word this year. And when we end, God willing, in December, we will have read 1,592 pages. So understand, we have read over 1,007 pages. And all that's in this Bible is 1,592 pages. So we don't even have 600 pages left to read. We have really enjoyed, and the Word of God, what a mighty thing God is doing. To know that you have listened to or read the Bible from Genesis to Job, and you've read, you're reading Psalms and Proverbs, and in the New Testament, you read from Matthew to 1 Corinthians. Wow. What a word of God. So let's find out about 1 Corinthians in our, what? 10 words or less. And it says, an apostle tackles sin problems in the church at Corinth. And it says this, the author, Apostle Paul, with the sisters of Sosthenes. Approximately date was AD 55-57. And these are some details. And it says, Paul had helped found the church of Corinth, Acts 18, but then moved on to other mission fields. While in Ephesus, he learned of serious problems in the Corinthian congregation and writes a long letter to address those issues. For those arguing over who should lead the church, Paul urges that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For a man involved in an immoral relationship with his stepmother, Paul commands, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. And we'll see that in chapter 5. For those church members filing lawsuits against others, Paul warns, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That'll be in chapter 6, verse 9. The apostle also teaches on marriage, Christian liberty, the Lord's Supper, spiritual gifts, and the resurrection of the dead. In the famous 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, Paul describes the more excellent way, and that's chapter 12, verse 31, that of charity or love. Hallelujah. We got a lot of great words in this book. And it goes on to say, quotable, preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power. We'll read that in just a little bit this morning. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. The foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Again, we'll read that this morning in verse 25 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Chapter 3, a word, and it says, for other foundations can no man lay that he is laid, which is Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. Take heed lest any means this liberty of yours becomes a stumbling block to them that are weak. Verse 8, chapter 9. I am made all things to all men that I might by all means save some. 9 and 22. For as often as you eat this bread, this is my one of my favorite books, chapters in 1 Corinthians, and that's chapter 11, and it talks about the Lord's Supper. Many churches read this scripture when they have the Lord's Supper, but this word touches me, and it says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he comes. We got to honor our Savior. We honor him when we have communion. We honor him when we ask God to forgive our sins. We ask God to forgive our transgressions. We ask God to forgive us before we take of that cup, because we don't want to put a curse on our life because we took that cup in a mess. You know, I love that word. And then it goes on to say, though I speak with the tongues of men, and that's another one of my favorites. Like I said, we got so many favorites in 1 Corinthians that, I'm just going to tell you now, just be prepared. I'm going to get filled up. I might even shout. Y'all just have to give me a minute while I dance, you know, because I love 1 Corinthians. It has so much in it. But verse chapter 13, I call it the love chapter, and it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, which is love, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. We got to love each other, and we got to make sure that we glorify God in everything we're doing. And it says this, unique and unusual, refuting opponents who question his apostleship, Paul insists that he is as much an apostle as Jesus' original disciples. I am not an apostle? He asks in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Paul experienced something that the disciples did not. He experienced an encounter. They just thought of Jesus as, this is Jesus. We're with him every day. We're learning. We know that he's the Savior. We know that he's the Messiah. We know this. We're with him. Especially Peter, James, and John, his aces who were always with him, knew who he was, who didn't know him, who didn't experience his time alive, had an encounter after resurrection, after death and resurrection, after sitting on the right hand of the Father. Jesus came specifically for Paul. So yes, Paul was just as much an apostle as Peter, James, and John. Paul had an encounter, and we search daily for an encounter. And it says, so what? Church problems are nothing new. Neither is the way to correct them. Personal purity, self-discipline, and love for others are vital to a congregation's success. You know, we hear all the time a church is falling and closing up because the people in the church can't get along, because the folks in the church are fussing and fighting and dictatorships and all kind of craziness going on in the church. But understand, when the church glorifies God, let him glory in the Lord. He who glories, let him glory in the Lord. We got to glorify God in everything we do. And it starts in the church. You know, how many people have left the church because of the hypocrisy they see there? How many people have lost their souls and their salvation because Christians acting ugly and unholy? We got to know that what we do and what we say should always glorify God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says, I, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints with all who in every place call on the name of the Lord, name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by him. In all utterance, all knowledge of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now I plead with you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind, in the same judgment. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brothers, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. Now I say this, that each of you says, I am of Paul, or I am Apollos, or I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Come on now, you better preach. Apostle Paul is preaching this morning, y'all. I thank God that I baptized none of you except Christmas. And guys, lest anyone should say that I had baptized in my own name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanus. Besides, I do not know whether I baptized any other. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disciple of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? Come on now. For since in the wisdom of God, the word through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than any men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brother, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world and the things which are despised. God has chosen, and the things which are not to bring to nothing, the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God. I'm going to read that again. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us from God. And righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. And that is our title this morning. He who glories, let him glory in the Lord. We must put God first in everything that we do. And when we do that, watch God work, because God is getting the glory. It is not about me. It is not about you. It is not about anybody but God. You know, we got to quit putting folks on pedestals, because then when they fall, we want to call ourselves, get mad. We want to say, I don't want to be a part of this, or I don't want to be a part of that because somebody fell. But who are we? We all fall short of God's glory. So we got to give folks an understanding. We got to learn to forgive and let things go, because if we hold it in, it eats us up from the inside out. And I'm speaking from myself. I got sick because I was full of anger, and I had to let it go, because God said, if you're going to work for me, you can't carry all of that. You got to let that go. You got to let it go. You know, we carry stuff from childhood, bring it all the way into adulthood, till we all broke down because we're carrying all the weight of our baggage. And I'm speaking for myself. I can't talk for nobody but me. Wondering why your joints are aching. Wondering why you can't hardly walk early in the morning, because you don't allow baggage to seep into your dreams. And you're carrying it when you get out of bed in the morning. Lord, I ask you to remove all baggage from my mind, body, and spirit, that I can walk upright, pain-free. Come on now. Got to speak it and ask for it. But as we go to Titus chapter 2, verse 14, it says, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. and it says, trained by saving grace. And as we go to the word that Dr. Stanley has given us in this life lesson, which is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 2. For those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, since every believer in Jesus is sanctified, set apart to God and released from the power of sin, and can therefore be called a saint, a holy member of God's family, zealous for good works. But let's go back up to verse 11 so we get this whole scripture, trained by saving grace, in context. And it says, for grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. And as we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, and we're going to also go over to John chapter 17. So join me in John chapter 17. Also, we're going to be looking at verse 11 and verse 22. But depending on the reading, we want to make sure we read it in context. And it says, Jesus, and it says, be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Jesus had prayed for the unity of his followers before his arrest and crucifixion. And Paul also made frequent appeals to God's people that they may be one. And when we go over to John chapter 17, verse 11, Jesus said, now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. And we're going to read the rest. It says, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition. And we're talking Judas Iscariot, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. And as we continue, and it says, I do not pray for those alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Verse 22, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them and you in me, and that they may be made perfect in one. The world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. Meaning Jesus was there before the foundation of the world. Oh, righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I've declared to them your name and will declare it, that the love with which you love me may be in them and I in them. What a word. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27. God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. God loves to use a weak, despised, and inconsequential things, people, and events to demonstrate his majesty, so that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. And if we go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we're going to go to verse 7, but we may go up to verse 1. We'll see how it reads. And it says this: cast down but unconquered. Ooh, that's the title of that lesson for that section. And it says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are, and I'm going to go ahead and read the whole section. It says, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then, death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound in the glory of God. So when you're going through, don't get discouraged, because God has got you covered. You know, you may think that you're going through a hell, but I tell you one thing, heaven has your name on it. God has you covered, and he wants the best for you. Can't nobody take what God has for you. Can't nobody take your spirit unless you allow it. Don't let anybody tell you who you are, for you are a child of God. And as we go through the word, Dr. Stanley, God's wrath, what the Bible says about God's wrath, and I'm sure Job is thinking he's going through, you know, David was going through. Paul is going to go through it and was going through, dealing with an unruly church. We all go through, but we all know that God is in charge. And this is what it says. Most people enjoy hearing about God's incredible love, but what about his wrath? The wrath of God is described many times in his word because his character is holy. Habakkuk 1:13 says, you are of purer eyes than both to behold evil and cannot look on wickedness. But, you know, as we look at that Habakkuk word in verse 13, if you look above it, it says, are you not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, my Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, you have appointed them for judgment. O rock, you have marked them for correction. You are of pure eyes then to behold evil and cannot look on wickedness. Why do you look on those who deal treacherously and hold your tongue when the wicked devours a person more righteous than he? Why do you make men like fish of the sea, like creeping things that have no ruler over them? They take up all of them with a hook. They catch them in their net and gather them in their dragnet. Therefore, they rejoice and are glad. Therefore, they sacrifice to their net and burn incense to their dragnet, because by them their share is sumptuous and their food plentiful. Shall they therefore empty their net and continue to slay nations without pity? So when you read it in context, it's like, well, wait a minute. Habakkuk is asking God some questions. And let's call it straight. We ask God questions too. Lord, why am I going through whatever it may be? You know, did you forget about me? You know, those things, as Job talked about it, we got to understand God is in charge. And we still must glorify him even in our worst times. And it says that the natural consequences of our sin is the sentence of death. Many people fail to understand the lethal nature of sin, but God takes it very seriously because he knows it destroys anything it touches. Of course, when we reject God's forgiveness of sin through Christ, we reject the only thing that can divert God's wrath from us. Romans 1 and 18 tells us that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Anyone who denies, ignores, or rebels against God has rejected the only defense that's been provided against his awesome anger. Romans 2 and 5 confirms, in accordance with your hardness and your impotent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Yet on the cross we see that the wrath that was due to all humanity was laid upon God's perfect Son, the only person who never sinned at all. The astonishing death of Jesus Christ is where the holy wrath and the abounding love of God intersects. It's there that our sin is judged according to his holiness, and that we are reconciled to God so that we may live eternally in his holy presence. Apart from Jesus Christ, we'll experience the wrath of God. However, when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, we need never fear God's wrath again. The glorious truth is that through Christ, we are forgiven and our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Therefore, rejoice and proclaim to others how they can avoid God's wrath as well. And I say it again, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. And that is our word this morning. And before we get out of here, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister. Oh, what a word. Again, I'm sure it's going to be good because that's just what she does. And this is what it says. Good morning. You do what you can, and God will do what you can. Can the church say amen? Have a thankful Thursday. And some of you join me after I gave a word that was sent to me this morning that I want to share. And it is just, it's just a beautiful word. And it says this: I never would have made it without God in my life. So thankful for God's unconditional love. His grace and mercy continue to cover me. Thank you, Lord, for loving me, regardless of me. And it also says, have a blessed and thankful Thursday. You know, Sister Carolyn is saying, have a thankful Thursday. The word I got this morning says, have a thankful Thursday. And I say to you this morning, as we wrap it up, have a thankful Thursday. And remember, Sister Carolyn said this morning, you do what you can, and God will do what you can't. Have a thankful Thursday, family. And keep God first in everything that you are doing. God loves you. He cares about you. And he wants the best for you. Have a thankful Thursday. And know that you are sons and daughters of the Most High God. And you are loved. Don't worry about what you're going through. Continuously give God glory. Continuously thank God for what you do have and watch him work on everything else. Have a blessed day, family. It is, as we say on Moving Forward, a wrap. But we say as we pray out, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from each other in the precious and holy name of the matchless Savior, Jesus Christ. I pray over you and yours. Be blessed today and always, Lord God, we keep you first in all we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap. Why? Because we got to go to work. Who do we work for? We work for God. Have a blessed day. It's a wrap.